you, Americans, and your allies. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Dear friends, this is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I've made a selection from opera for my opening this Sunday, and because it's one of the truly great pieces of opera, I feel sure it will be familiar to most of you. The prologue from Pagliacci.
Si può, signore, signori, scusatemi se da sol mi presento. Io sono il padrone. Parte vuol riprendere le vecchie usanze e a voi di nuovo inviami. Ma non per dirvi come brio, le lacrime che versiam son false e degli spasimi e dei nostri martir non amatevi. No, no, l'autore ha cercato invece fingervi uno squarcio di vita e gli ha far massima sol che l'artista è l'uomo. Oh, yeah. essi. Ora ascoltate come gli è svolto. Andiamo! Incomincio!
Victor Young has made a slick arrangement of a popular tune that he'd like to have you hear now. Here it is, Irving Berlin's Blue Skies. Our next song is an old favorite of mine, as I hope it is of yours. The lovely old ballad, Believe Me If All Those Endearing Young Charms.
Still.
thy cheeks unprofaned by a tear, that the fervor and faith of a soul can be known, to which time will but make thee more dear. Know the heart that has truly loved never forgets what has truly loves on to the close. As the sunflower turns to her God when he said, the same look
Ken Darby has a very special reason for choosing the number he's arranged for our chorus to sing today. John Nesbitt will tell you about it later. The Song of the Merchant Marine. One of the most difficult chores that a journalist can have put before him is a request to write a story for a National Honor Day. He usually groans aloud and complains that everything about it has already been said before. So we challenge John Nesbitt to prepare us a story for Maritime Day. And now we'll see what he's done with it.
Tomorrow is a special day. It's one of those days to which we pay little attention in peace, but which in these times has great meaning. It is called Maritime Day, and it's in honor of the Merchant Marine. And a year ago, on this same day, we told you about the staggeringly great fleet of ships that we're building. But this time, we watch the one element which is much more important than those ships. It is the men who sail them. Imagine, if you please, that you're standing on the edge of one of the great rocky cliffs that line the coast of Oregon. And far out on the Pacific, there's a tiny speck of white. And as you watch it, you can see that it's slowly moving along. And now, to use a movie term, let us move into a close-up of that speck of white. It's the sail of a boat. And it's a pathetically tiny boat made of wood. It's 35 feet 4 inches long. It's 8 feet wide. Its name is the North Star. And two youngsters, one 19 and the other 15, put it together themselves in the backyard of their home in Tacoma, Washington. And when it was finished, after 2 years of work, they got a truck and they lugged it down to the waterfront. And early in May 1939, they started out in that boat for Santa Monica, California. And that is 1,165 miles from Tacoma. You must realize that the foggy and treacherous coasts of Washington, Oregon, and California are among the most dangerous in the world. This is a beautiful graveyard of lost ships. And you must also know that this tiny boat, so small you could put it into a living room, had no engine. It depended entirely on the wind. Because, you see, to these small boat sailors, an engine is often a sissy thing. And that, too, is part of the great adventure, to be completely dependent upon yourselves alone. South of San Francisco, the barometer suddenly fell, and a storm was coming. And all along the shore, red and black flags were hoisted. There was no harbor in which to run for shelter. And the two youngsters did the next best thing, which was to head out for sea before the storm screamed in, so that they wouldn't be blown onto the rocks. And 200 miles out at sea, the wind struck. And now they nailed canvas over their hatches and bolted down the port lights. And they took in all sail except for one little triangle of heavy canvas which would act as a weather vane and keep their homemade boat pointed into the wind. And they put out a sea anchor, a canvas scoop at the end of a line to keep the boat from drifting too fast. And finally, to keep from being washed overboard, they tied ropes around themselves and they knotted the ends around the mast. And when the wind struck, the entire surface of that sea was churned into a froth. Crouched in the cockpit in oilskins and sou'westers, the two boys simply waited. And gigantic waves lifted the tiny homemade boat high into the air and crashed down on the decks. For 3 days and three nights, the youngsters were wet to the skin. It was impossible to cook. It was impossible to sleep. And they ate nothing but hardtack, preserves, and some chocolate bars. 3 weeks later, I happened to be standing on the yacht pier at Santa Monica, and I noticed a small and battered sailboat come neatly rounding in behind the breakwater. And a part of its railing was gone, and the sail was shredded and patched. And that boat was the North Star. And the two boys clambered out and came ashore, and I asked them how the trip had gone. And the little fellow says, "Well, we ran into a little blow south of San Francisco, but we rode her out all right. It was swell, and so now we've decided to keep on going down to Mexico." Today, the young master and the young mate of the tiny North Star, now aged 24 and 20, are somewhere on a rusty-streaked freighter that's carrying war cargo across the ocean. And now the danger is no longer clean and wild from nature, but it comes from greasy submarines and dive bombers and floating mines that are red with rust. And the two boys I met in Santa Monica that day joined the Merchant Marine the moment war was declared. And from all over the country, boys like this came. From Kansas farms and Texas ranches. Boys who'd never seen the ocean except in the movies, but loved it perhaps more for that reason. And it was among young men like these that America found its men to sail the ships when it needed them. And it needed them to the point of death itself. And so America can be proud this Maritime Day. Proud that the love of the sea is really a part of the American heritage, and it is therefore a part of our real wealth. And that is a love that all the machinery and six-lane highways can never take from the hearts of men in the passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt.
She is gentle and also wise. Of all others, she beareth the prize that ever I saw. To hear her sing, to see her dance, she will the best herself advance that ever I saw.
to see her fingers that be so small. In my conceit she passeth all that ever I saw. And nature in her hath wonderly wrought. Christ never such another bought that ever I saw. I have seen many that have beauty, yet there is none like to my lady that ever I saw. Therefore I dare this boldly say, I shall have the best and fairest maid that ever I saw.
Remember some of those tricky little piano pieces that every budding piano player used to try to master? Kitten on the keys, stumbling, dizzy fingers, and so on. Well, the list wouldn't be complete without the tune Victor Young is now going to play with the orchestra. Nola. Nice going, Vic. And a bow to our pianist, Ted Sadenberg. He didn't miss. Next, my song is the fine old hymn, Now the Day is Over.
Now the day is over. Night is drawing nigh. Shadows of the
Well, dear friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye. God bless.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.